all night. Then he was midnight. Now I hear he's going to bed early. Chris Perkins, Dolphins columnist for the Sun Sentinel, joins us this morning.
He's like mid-afternoon Perk right now.
Well, I remember Perk could run. I mean, he could run through the night. He was Carl Lewis at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
That was back in the day, right, Perk?
That was back in the day. That was.
now he early bird Perk.
I'm pretty much happy hour Perk. Like I said, I got to limit myself now.
Hey, I got to ask both you guys this question because we've had some fun on the road with riders we used to have a group of riders could stay out late and would be like a lot of football players play hurt the next day. Perk, who's the best one you've ever been with that would stay out? I don't care what kind of joints they go to, little naughty joints or not, but the guys who are just going to get their money's worth on the road.
I think we got the same answer. Who would that
person be?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, Alex Marvez
was by himself.
Hall of Famer, first ballot. Jeff Darlington was on that list. Adam Beasley on that list. Omar Kelly on that list. The old Joe Shad was on that list.
No way, Joe Shad? No way.
The old Joe Shad, not the new.
Joe Shad used to be dirty?
No, don't say dirty. There's no dirty. It's clean.
Can I give you my vote? Alex Marvez.
So hold on. Yeah. Alex Marvez was worse than Beasley?
Oh yeah. No, Marvez is first ballot. But Marvez might be unanimous Hall of Famer.
I saw Alex Marvez.
Marvez is unanimous.
Kickoff Thursday night football game. I was with Alex Marvez and he's part animal. I should have gone to bed
come
early.
Come on, Perk.
I was hurt.
How many nights have you put Beasley to bed? Come on, Perk.
Now that's a lot. You know, me and Bees have some legendary stories, but Marvez. Hey, and if we're gonna go in TV, Louis the Baller is on that list too, the cameraman for Channel 4.
You talking about Louis?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, Louis. Louis, by the way, Louis still got his nights. And I gotta tell you, Louis's going up to the Catholic Church on Sunday. He's going to more mass I've ever seen, but he got his money. He get his money's worth on Saturday night. I tell you, I'd see him the next day. He goes, I'm hurting a little bit. I said, well, you tell the big man that when you're talking to him for about 45 minutes in that church.
I'm sorry. I can't believe Marvez is bad. How many times did Beasley lose his rental car or lose his ID, leave it at the bar? Come on, Perk.
What if Beasley's son is listening to this?
No, that doesn't matter. No. Hey, I have found out at some point your kids ask you, were you as much of an ass clown as I've heard from some people that have said stuff about you, Dad? Dad, were you a little wild? And I go, yes, I was. And I'm not proud of it, but I'm not going to sit here and completely lie. Dad, did you do drugs? Well, I prefer not to talk about that. I'll take the fifth on that one.
No detail.
Hey, Perk, I got to tell you, and we got to move on to some football. Adam Beasley came on, the only guy to ever come on the show, and like 2 minutes in, he goes, I'm going to throw up, and he hung up on me. and he blamed Mexican food.
Mexican food will get you every time, Perk.
And he said, he was mad the next year. You guys were dogging him. I said, dude, that wasn't the Mexican food. Your ass drank too much. I said, everybody's been there. That's BS. Anyway, hey, Perk, let's get to this. Let's talk about this team, man. Everybody wants to know. Everybody's got a little different take. From what you've seen, I know this. I don't care till the season starts, but from what you've seen, when you look at your depth chart, how do you feel about it? Is there anything you need to add, or could you go and open up with this group you have right now?
Oh, no. You definitely need cornerbacks. Cornerbacks, you don't have a number one cornerback on your roster or out there on the free agent market. You just don't. And so whether you have Stephon Gilmore or Rasul Douglas or Asante Samuel, those guys would have been great number twos besides Jalen Ramsey. But as a number one with, like, whoever, Cam Smith or Storm Duck as your number two, I fear what will happen to that secondary.
You all right with the safeties? I heard Coach said it's open competition. We got five of them, including a rookie. Let's find out who they are. I know none of them have played a lot as far as starts, But we do have two veterans that they got on the cheap that I'm guessing are going to start.
I think your safety play this year could be worse than it was last year. And look, we know that neither Javon or Jordan Poyer had a good season last year, but you're basically expecting new starters. And I know Issey Melifonwu has made some starts, but they were limited due to injury. Ashton Davis has made very few starts. He's basically a special teams player. At least you had experience. Safety last year.
Ashton has more career interceptions than Javon Holland, who just signed a ridiculous.
He's not a better player.
Omar.
There's no world in which Ashton Davis is a better safety than Javon Holland. No world.
I think those eight interceptions says differently.
Omar. All around play, no.
You're just looking at numbers.
Right.
Oh,
what did Javon Holland do?
Javon Holland,
dude,
he
played two games, the Jets game and the Jacksonville game, and he gave you solid play. He was a good safety. I'm not saying he's Pro Bowl caliber, but he's a good safety.
I'm with Perk. There's still teams that think they can get more out of him in the right system. I agree. When he was young, when he first year, I thought he was really good. I'm with you on that one, Perk. I'm going against Omar, which, by the way, is not hard to do if you've been around Omar lately. He's been on a roll here a little bit. Hey, how you feel about the O-line in depth? Are we making too much of it? Starting five looks good if everybody can come back healthy and we're ready to go. But what do you think?
I'll just stick to O-line before I go to the whole offense. The starters are okay. You know, but my thing is, just because you have big guys doesn't mean you're going to play a physical, aggressive style. That's a coaching thing, okay? That's on Mike McDaniel. You've got to change the way that you call plays on first down, on second and seven, on second and three, on third and one, on third and five. You can't keep doing all of this cutesy finesse stuff. You've got to run it up in the A-gap and not with a 188-pound running back. Even if you have bigger guards, you need Ollie Gordon, Alexander Mattison jamming that ball in there, telling the defense it's going to be a long day for you. I just did a story yesterday talking about the Dolphins' run game. The last two seasons, they're 8-11 when rushing for over 100 yards. That's 42% winning. The rest of the league wins at 62%. The best teams win at 80%. So basically what you have is defense is saying, we're going to shut down Tyreek. You can run all you want, and you can go 8-11. We're not worried.
Mm. With this team, where do you feel Mike is in terms of his ability to command the locker room and have them not quit on him when adversity strikes?
I don't think these guys are going to quit on Mike. I think you could kind of get a no-confidence vote based on what this team has done and what it should do. You know what I say, that this team is underachieved and it's been disappointing. Yeah. And I think, you know, that I don't think they're not a bad team. They're not going to be a bad team this year. It's just going to be more disappointment, more mediocrity. To me, 9-8 is mediocrity. You're not going to make the playoffs. You're not going to win a playoff game. It's just another Joe Philbin, Adam Gase season. And that's what I see coming for this team, unfortunately.
So I do want to ask you, you guys both realize we're going to be playing a lot of young guys, whether it's first or second year players that they're going to have to count on, haven't played a lot. They're going to need those guys to take a bigger role along with this draft class and maybe a couple of rookie free agents. You guys all with me on that, right, to fill this out?
Yeah.
And I mean guys playing. I'm not talking to back end inactive on game day.
Yeah, especially defensively.
I think we're going to have two defensive linemen playing inside a lot of snaps. I think your first and fifth round pick, I think Kenneth Grant's going to play a lot, and I think they're going to second Jordan Phillips
is going to play a lot. Jason Barker might have to play a little bit at corner.
That could happen. By the way, if I'm that guy, I am excited about this opportunity. this isn't going on too many places in the NFL right now where you can go, hell, I got a chance to play.
Every single one of those guys have a chance to play. We have no – it's an open competition.
Is Cater going to end up being inside or outside? Do we know? I know they love him in slot, or is he going to have to move outside?
I don't think – unless Artie Burns is a slot, is a nickel, and I'm – unless Artie Burns is just absolutely killing it, I think Cater's an inside guy.
Yeah, I think that's his area of expertise. Look, by the way, you guys understand what happened in the offseason, right, as far as offense, defense. Offense got everything they wanted. They got a new coach. They now Bobby Slowick. They've now got three quarterbacks with Brett Gabbert that they added in the offseason, right, with Quinn Ewers and Zach Wilson and Brett Gabbert. You added two running backs. You added two guards. You added a tight end. You added a wide receiver and a backup offensive lineman in Larry Borum. Defensively, you lose two Hall of Famers in Calais and Jalen Ramsey. What do they get? They get Kenneth Grant. That's pretty much it. Like, the imbalance here, this offense better carry the team. Like, the imbalance of what was added in the offseason is just mind-boggling. The defense got almost nothing.
You're right about – no. Unless you're counting on this two draft safeties. Class.
Hold on. Two safeties. You
resign. Oh, we went over the safeties.
We had to see more from the safeties last year.
You added good inside linebackers than KJ Britt and Willie Gay. You did. But that's limiting.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. I thought they'd get a corner higher in the draft, but they didn't, and that's fine if they got the guys they wanted. And I know they got the defensive tackle they wanted, and they moved up and felt strongly about a big guard as well, so they got those two positions. I do want to ask you, the backup quarterback is locked up, right? Zach Wilson's a backup. I know Hewers is kind of the hot name right now, but he got a long way to go to catch up.
If it's going to be Zach Wilson, they targeted Zach Wilson. They told us that. Mike McDaniel told us, I'm not saying I'm going to turn him into Tua, but he said, the reclamation job we did with Tua, we think we can do something similar with Zach Wilson. So I would be absolutely shocked if Quinn Ewers is the backup over Zach Wilson.
Where are you, Perk, with the job that Chris Greer has done fortifying the roster? I mean, he talked about quarterback and how he needs to address the position.
You always got to go the hot topic. You could not help yourself. But right back to Chris Greer. I hear Chris Greer's family's out there right now going, friggin' Omar, could not get through it.
But
we heard that on the podium, didn't we? Chris Greer. I think Chris Greer has done a decent job. Look, I think I've told you guys this. He's Instacart. Mike McDaniel orders the groceries, and Chris Greer delivers them. So, he is the GM, but Mike McDaniel pulls the strings. Mike McDaniel, it's his vision for this team that we're seeing carried out. So Greer has done a decent job. Look, I will say this, what I've always said about this team, they've done an excellent job, nice job by the wordsmith, an excellent job of gathering talent here. They just don't deploy that talent correctly. That's my thing. I mean, you've got a one-dimensional offense. Defensively, you had a good defense in 2023. By the way, something you guys said early, 2023 to me was not about injuries. It was about you needed to beat some good teams early to stack some wins. But again, you can't beat good teams. So, it comes down, those injuries were huge at the end. If you could have beat Philly or Tennessee or Buffalo or Kansas City, you would have had a little bit of breathing room. But, you have the talent to win those games. You don't deploy that talent correctly.
Hey, Perk, we got to get rolling, but didn't I just hear Chris Greer say one of the knocks and things I have to do is I got to be the GM and have final say and not give in to my coaches? Didn't I just hear that not too long ago?
Yeah.
He getting that from the top, too. Like, hey, man, you're the GM, all right? Hey, I just got one. We got to run. We're running super late. Alex Marvez is clearly – I was thinking the one guy I was with that I threw up with the next day before I went on the game and had to go dry heave in between at halftime. Alex Marvez got me one night. That guy don't you, and you end up in those dirty clubs, right? Those dirty little clubs, and they weren't even attractive.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Let me tell you guys something. I've gotten a bunch of texts since we've been on the line. Joe Rose, check your text messages because one is so bold. But a bunch of people weighing in on this Marvez Beasley thing. Adam Beasley has chimed in. Y'all are blowing it up. Good job. Good job.
By the way, Beast never came clean. If you're listening, Adam, all I ask, I know you're not in the business, so you're on a hall pass right now, but you got to come clean about when you hung up after. That was not the Mexican food. That was from drinking too much damn tequila. You got to be honest. That's all I ask for honesty. I don't mind a good buzz from a media member on the road. I'm with you. I get one every Saturday.
I know I've helped Adam Beasley get home at least five times.
And Beast, and Adam, if your wife's out there, I'm not done. Marvez, though, I got to tell you, you guys are forgetting the greatness of Alex Marvez. The greatness. Nobody was hurt. Whatever he was writing the next day, God bless him for being able to do that. That man could go. He never got shortchanged. God bless Alex Marvez, man. That man was a... All right, man, we got to run, brother. Now we got it all stirred up at the other end, man. See how the media guys like it now. Perk, thank you.
Crazy media crew.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Alex, thanks, man. Alex Marvin. Chris Perkins, Sun Sentinel joining us. We got to go.
I didn't know Alex was a legend like that.
You didn't know?
Nah.
He got me one night. Even Harvey Green was smart enough to take off. He just picked up the tab and he took off. Said, oh, shit, we in trouble now.
Bennett backs out to the line. Ekblad straight on at the blue line. Has it. Ekblad patiently. Long shot. Tip wide by Verhaeghe. Back behind the net. Verhaeghe rips it in front. Jammed it. And they score. And it's Sam Bennett crashing the net. And the Panthers take a 4-0 lead with 39 seconds to play here in the second. What a shift. And the Panthers are rewarded with a 4-goal lead.
3-0. 4-0. 5-0. Two power play goals. Wow. You know, you get down to this point, and there's four teams left, two in the West, two in the East, and you just don't expect to play this well on the road. They have now won in their last four road games, games 5 and 7 in Toronto, and now the first two in Carolina, 5-2, 5-0, and going to Toronto, 6-1, 6-1. They've outscored Toronto and Carolina on the road in the last four games, 22-4. That first period, they're going to come out hot and ready to go, and you know Panthers going to have to get ready for their first shot. No, their best shot. No. The other way around. No. Carolina might want to get ready for what they saw. That was unbelievable. Forechecking, the turnovers they created. The shots, just incredible, incredible stuff from Forsling and Tkachuk and Bennett. Barkov, Verhaeghe had 3 assists in the game. Big Bob, 17 saves, although every time we talk about a low number of shots, he still has some big, big saves at point blank. But they have just, and we'll see what happens, you know, next two games, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, Saturday and Monday, tomorrow night, Amaranth Bank, Jerry's house. And see what happens Saturday and Monday. But, man, they just, from the top down, it's got a system. It doesn't change. It hasn't changed since Paul Maurice. They buy in. They talk about it. Our system travels. And, boy, are they good. God, it's just incredible to see how well this thing's going and what is going to end up being in our professional sports down here. The third, right there at the top of mini dynasty of what they've done. If they keep winning, along with the early 70s with the Miami Dolphins winning the 17-0 and another championship and another trip to the Super Bowl, the big three in the 4 years they had, LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and then this thing has just incredible. Bill Zito, Paul. Just fantastic.
Let me ask you, how much of real estate in the sports landscape do you think that they can gain if they actually win another title?
You're talking about down in this market?
Yeah.
Well, they are now officially, they don't have problems filling up their arena, which used to be the big topic. It's empty. It's full of other fans now. Now it's at the point where they got star power. They got guys, Kachuk and others, that are just, they're big name. They're on national TV a lot. They're going to be on national TV a lot more. It is a great question. I think there are a lot of casual fans that are really interested and are growing. I think their popularity, I'm not saying it's ever going to be where the Miami Dolphins are. I'm going to be honest, and some of you can disagree, probably never going to be where the Miami Heat are when they're good. Probably not going to be there. But I got to tell you, it is turned into one hell of a – and hockey, this is, again, it's a great run. They've really taken off. But I can't answer that question as far as overall. But they're playing by themselves. There's no competition in Dade County. You know, it's usually we either have them both playing or it's been about the Heat through the years. And that team – that team's not taking a back seat, and it's full of, like, great players. Like, people, the names that I said, and Reinhardt, who got injured last year, and hopefully he'll be okay, they're really, really good top-notch players. I think Barkov is still considered the best player, but Kachuk is the biggest name. I think that's fair. Some might disagree with me on that. Reinhardt scored the most goals the last 2 years. But they got a lot of really good friggin' players. And they've been able to get these guys to stay and not go, hey, my contract's up. I want to be the highest paid. It's a little different. Guys fit in. They go, I want to be under Barkov. I'm not as good as he is. I mean, you only hear that in hockey. You don't hear that in a lot of sports. So now Bennett's contract's up. I don't want to lose him. I not because he had two goals last night. There's nobody that's in down here that wants to lose him. And I don't know what the cap looks like, but they had a couple nice pieces right there with this little loophole that you have when a player's injured, and so Kachuk got hurt. They freed up some money and they went out and got themselves some big horses. Man, been dying to say that, big horses. But it's a great question. Where does it? If they keep winning, where does it end up? Where does it go as far as popularity? It's growing. It's growing a lot. Everybody knows their faces now. I was at that parade last year, and it was nasty weather. From what I remember being at that thing, I got a little liquored up that day. But, man, what a hell of a time. Hell of a time. All right. We got to go to break here, but it is – it is a great question when you rank the teams right now. Maybe 305-567-0560 all day, Dan Dave. Stuff's coming in about, you know, how you rank the teams. We know who's the best team right now. Clearly, hell, they're one of the best teams in professional sports. What they're doing right now is, you know, especially they win two more games. They go to a third straight Stanley Cup and they win it. Holy shit. Interesting, interesting stuff. I will tell you, man, those guys walk down the street, people know who they are now. That didn't used to be the case.
It certainly wasn't.
I don't know if anybody out there, it's kind of a guy thing, and I get that because I had it happen with my first wife too, is you have a guy you grow up with, and he kind of goes through life as a loser, but you keep him around. You pick him on the team when you're doing you're goofing around in the summer, and the one guy's, you still take him, you put him on the team, he hangs out with you, he's with you, and you just kind of do it, and next thing you know, you've been with him since like the fourth or fifth grade. It's a little town. But yeah. You don't expect when the guy grows up to still be such a friggin' loser. And he is so he ambushes me. His thing is, he knows if he calls me, first of all, I'll tell him don't come back because there's nobody wants you back here. Led by my wife, she and for good reason, because all he does is borrow money. And the one time that I let him stay, he friggin' brought a girl home, and he ran a tab up that I had to go back down and pay at Bo Campers. After I closed the tab out, he goes, no, no, he didn't mean to close it out. I'll have him. He'll just pay you tomorrow. He's friends with Bo. So the guy's like broken every rule there is. Brought a girl back. I got two little girls at my friggin' having breakfast in the morning. This girl comes out in a t-shirt, and I'm going, are you friggin', you did not bring that girl home last night. And my wife is screaming, get him out of here now. Takes me in the back room. I want him out. I will not go back out. He's got to go. This is ridiculous, Joe. This has been going on. I don't want to hear about Marysville. We're not in Marysville. So the guy pops back up last night. Says, hey, man, I know how you feel. But my girl is back here, my new girlfriend. She just liked to meet you. Just come. I like to say hello to you. I paid for my room. You don't have to pay for anything. So I go over there. Down to the beach, cheap little place over there, Dania somewhere. And I meet her. And said hello. I say, I got to go. I'm going to be leaving town. And he walks me out, and I knew it. And he goes, okay, he's walking out. Hey, man, you know, I miss you. Oh, man. Yeah, I wish things could be better. And
pouring it on thick, huh, Joe?
And then he hits me with, but hey, man, we did pay for our rooms and we paid for our flights. We're good. Can I borrow some money, though? She just told me, I don't have a credit card, but she ran her credit card up. We don't have any money. So what? We don't have enough money to get through Memorial Day weekend here. So what were you planning on doing? You're going to call me the whole time. Well, you know, you're my friend. No. We have a weird relationship. It's done. Can you just loan me just a few $100 and it'll get me through? I swear. So I had 5 20s and 2 $1 bills. So I gave them to him. I said, dude, this is it. He goes, well, I was hoping you'd give me more, but listen, I talked to my girlfriend. Would you like to get some? So at first I was like, get some? Like, get some? You mean like you're going to... I thought at first he meant like some pot or something. I was like, dude, I don't smoke pot anymore.
Some of that pumpkin pie, Joe.
So he goes, I go, you're not asking me if I want to go in there and sleep with your girl. Please. Are you? And I was like, dude, you've hit an all-time low. I thought what you did at my house, bringing a girl home, you have hit a new all-time low.
Yeah, that's a new
asking me to go in there, and we were going to trade out sleeping with her for money.
For $102.
So he's texted me 3 times this morning.
No. Oh.
3 times. Bro, oh. I'm in a jam. Like, please, can you just drop off some money? I swear I'll pay you back this time. He's never paid me back, so that's a lie. 66 years old. One of the greatest 66-year-old losers of all friggin' time. And by the way, I had a buddy call me. I think he's on his way. I go, no, he's here. He's here. Called me last night. He goes, I think he's on his way. I go, no, he's here. He goes, dude, he does that to everybody out here. Oof. Nobody wants him around. Now, my little town is small in Marysville, California. It's not a very big town. But this thing has just gotten – I had to share that because this is one of the lowest things a guy could do. And he's floated through life, man. And he lost his number one fan. My mother passed a year ago, exactly a year and change ago.
She probably used to take care of him.
She did, and gave him money. And my dad was getting tired of it too. My dad's a little tight with his money. He wasn't, you know, oh, hell no. We've been going through this. Why is this still going on? Now you can get Social Security. You're old enough. Well, it's not very much. Well, because you didn't work very much. So,
leave the country.
Oh,
man.
Jerry, just take care of. Just give him. I'm going to give him 20. I don't want to hear about it. God. Anyway, we got more stuff. Where am I? Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk is going to join us coming up. You hanging in there pretty good. You got a little touch of the flu. You're trying to give to me before I go to France.
It's cold. It's cold, Joe. It's head cold.
All right.
I'm doing my best.
All right. Well, listen, hang in there. We've got, like I said, Mike Florio will join us. We got a lot of NFL stuff going on. By the way, this weird thing, Aaron Rodgers. It's a weird one. So the owner comes out and says, we're going to wait a little while longer. They have no choice now. What are you going to do? The only backup plan is you got to make a trade with Atlanta if you're trying to win.
Yeah.
That's
it. I mean,
it
would be ideal if you get the quarterback in the system so he learns and gains comfort and familiarity. But
he is going to do his own thing. And by the way, the ass-kissing he gets from his guys is amazing. Well, he's going through his personal issues to take care of them. And some are saying it could be in a relationship. Others are saying some people in his life are sick. And I'm like, are his parents sick? I don't think he, last time we checked, he hadn't talked to him in like a decade. Dad went to the golf tournament up in Tahoe, celebrity golf tournament.
Listen.
See him on a damn hole.
Sometimes you're estranged from your rich family.
You're right. By the way, no, you're, well, he comes from a real middle class family because his hometown's next to mine. But weird deal, man. This Aaron Rodgers deal, I know he's had a Hall of Fame career. You agree, all right? Hall
Absolutely,
of Famer.
First ballot.
But I got to tell you, he is. He's gonna. They're gonna have a little birdie flying next to him because he's a strange bird. He a different dude. Different.
I don't know if he can walk away from the game. But what's
the
holdup?
Oh, he wants to play. I just think.
Is it money?
I'm not ready. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think it's just what he knows and who he is.
I know one thing. When he does start playing, he better be good. Those fans are going to remember every bit of this. You can hear it, right? Maybe you can show up with your team in the office.
Can you imagine if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback or the entity that takes down Mike Tomlin, who is the greatest coach in sports history, winning record percentage?
What? Mike Tomlin's what?
He's the longest tenured coach, one of the greatest in this era. He's right up there with Popovich and
with Andy Reid.
And
I don't know, where'd you just throw that out about
Andy
Mike Tomlin?
Reed, Andy Reid's in the stratosphere zone, but Mike Tomlin is Mike. Come on, the man's never had a losing season
with Popovich.
Yeah, with Popovich.
Counting championships and
he's got championships.
Runs? He's got a championship.
A championship. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Mike also, you know, had some hell of a team, hell of a team.
All right, but that's your take on it. I'm gonna let you go though. I'm not.
You telling me you wouldn't line up a Brinks truck if he was available?
I think we should have got Mike Tomlin when we had our chances and we didn't do it. But that's
2016, Joe. Living today. No, 2007.
No, I think Mike Tomlin's a really good coach.
Yeah.
I don't know about when you start putting him in that.
Never had a losing season. Longest tenure coach, never since 2007. Never had a losing season.
I think they've been a while since they've won a playoff game. Not ours. Don't get me wrong. But anyway, hey, we got to go to break here. That was kind of out of nowhere.